Let's go into the word this morning. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity. There's no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth. And we declare and decree at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. So we've looking at the God that saves, and I hope you've been able to learn a few things here and there, right? Turn with me quickly to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Look at Titus chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. So he says, in hope, verse 2, let's look at verse 2 quickly. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the what? Before the world began. So fundamentally, we've established over time that God is a God that cannot lie, and God is a God that promised something at the beginning. So it means that when you get to the beginning, you will see a promise of what? Eternal life. So God promised life right from the beginning, right? And we ought to, as Bible students, see the life that is promised. Hold your hands in Titus and go to John 1. Look at John chapter 1. Look at John chapter 1, verse... look at John chapter 1. Look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Now, Paul tells Titus, in the beginning, you will see the promise of what? Eternal life. So God, Paul tells Titus, in the beginning, you will see a God that cannot lie, that promised eternal life at the beginning. Now, John tells you, in the beginning was the what? Was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Are we together, right? So, in the real sense, your attention should be on the use or should be on what John tells us we find from the very beginning. So, John tells you at the beginning you find the Word. So, Paul tells you at the beginning you find what? A promise. So, the promise of what? Eternal life. So, at the beginning there is the Word and there is a promise of eternal life. Now, look at what John says in verse 4. He says, in him was life and the life was the light of men. So, who is the in him there? The Word, right? So, the Word that is found at the beginning, there is life. Is that far-fetched from what Paul said? No, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began, promised at the beginning. So at the beginning, we see the promise of eternal life. At the beginning, we see the Word. So when we see the Word, we must see the promise and we must see life. Okay, hold on. John tells you again, in him was life, and the life was the what? Light of men. Okay, who take a step back? John tells you there is the Word. Paul tells you there's a promise. Paul tells you there's a promise of eternal life. John tells you there's a life in the Word. And John tells you there's a light in the life that is in the Word. Are you together? So when you say in him was life, right, you must go further and say in that life is the light. So when we see light, we trace it back to the Word. When we see the Word, we trace it back to the promise that God made from the beginning. So it means that when we go back to the beginning, we see the promise of God to supply life to mankind. I was together. How do we know? Look at it again. It says, in him was life, and the life was the what? The light of men. So when you say light of men, would that be light that shines towards men? Would that be light that shines towards the darkness amongst men? Right? Will men be masculine? Masculine? No, will it be masculine? Men will be mankind. So in the beginning, we see the promise of God supplying life or light towards mankind. Are you here? So look at John again. Verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, right? And the light shineth in what? Darkness. And darkness what? Comprehended it not. Paul tells you, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So go to Genesis 1 quickly. So go to Genesis chapter 1 quickly. Genesis chapter 1 quickly. So, it says, in the beginning, God created the what? Heaven and earth. Now hold on. What did Paul say we should find in the beginning? The Word. John, Paul. What did Paul say we should find in the beginning? The promise of what? Life. What did John say we should find in the beginning? The Word. So John says in the beginning, so Moses says in the beginning, God created the what? The heavens and the earth. So is the Word the promise? Is the life the promise? Is the light the promise? So if the Word is the promise, the light is the promise, the life is the promise, we ought to see all of that where in the writings of Moses, in Genesis. Are we here? So he says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Right? And you see your Bible verse 2. Right? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was where? Upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved. Now, what would be the Spirit of God? The life. Did you get that? What does John 3:16 say? Let's put it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting. So what is life? His Spirit. What is the everlasting life you receive? His Spirit. So his Spirit is life in the believer. Are we here? So he says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, right? And God said, right? So what did God say? Let there be light. How did John talk about the light? It is a light of what? Men. So let there be light. Is God saying, let there be light towards the heart of man? Hold your hands. Remember in Titus, we went to John 1, right? We're in Genesis 1. Hold your hands there again. Go to 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter... 2 Corinthians chapter... look at chapter 2. Or look at chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4, 3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the what? The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Hold on. Do you see light in Genesis 1? Or let me say it this way. Do you see a conversation around light in Genesis 1?
Yeah.
Do you also see a conversation around image in Genesis 1?
Yeah.
Right? So where do you think Paul's audience will be reading from? The writings of Moses. So Paul tells you that Christ, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the what? Image of God, should shine. How does the light shine? Look at how he says this in verse 5. For we what? Preach. So how do we shine the light? When we preach. So preaching is a mode by which we shine light to dark areas or to people that are in what? In darkness. Are we together? So he says, when we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now look at verse 6. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. For God, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, for God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person, in the face of Jesus. Hallelujah. So when we think about light in Genesis, we think the light of the glorious gospel. When we think about light in Genesis, we think about light of the what? Knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Right? So go back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. Now, what did Paul say you will find at the beginning? Paul says at the beginning, you will find the promise of what? Life, right? Eternal life. So, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised from the beginning. So, if you go back to the beginning, you ought to find where or how the promise was written. So, if it tells you that God said, let there be light, and John tells you that the light or in him is life, and the life is the light of men. It means if you identify light, you should identify what? Life. If you identify light, you identify life, right? If you identify life, you identify what? The word. All together. If you identify the word, you identify what? The promise. So look at it again. And God said, let there be light. How else can you say that? Let there be life. Let there be my spirit. Let there be the word. Let there be my word. Let there be my spirit. Let there be my what? My promise, let it be my blood, right, from previous teachings, right? So, let there be light. So, it means that Genesis, the Bible, opens up with a promise. Whilst you see it as the beginning of the universe, it is a prophetic writing, or it is prophetically written to write prophetically about a new beginning. Are you here? Whilst you see it as the new beginning, or the beginning of time, right? It is because, you know, science, you cannot scientifically prove the consistent order by which Genesis 1 is written. And that's why you see some theologians or some people or some scientists argue that, have you heard about what you call the gap theory? Right? So the gap theory is a theory that states that there were, they claim 1,000, maybe 3,000 or 5,000 years. There were a number of thousands of years between Genesis 1 verse 1, no, Genesis 1 verse 2 and Genesis 1 verse 3. You see, that is where scientists say dragons got missing. Yes, some people claim that that's the point where some animals went into extinction, basically. But you see, when we look at the Bible, we don't think science. We think what? The promise of God. We don't think science. We think what? Salvation plan to man. Look at 2 Corinthians or 2 Timothy. Are you in 2 Timothy? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. So it says, and that from a child, 2 Timothy 3:14, let me allow you to get there quickly. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
And that from a child thou hast what? Known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is where? In Christ Jesus. Now, what will holy scriptures mean? The word holy is just a word that means set apart, sanctified, put away, distinct unto a purpose. So it says, holy scriptures are able to make thee wise. So is there a wisdom the scripture is supposed to give? Wisdom regarding God's theory or wisdom regarding salvation? Wisdom. So when you think salvation, you think life, you think spirit, you think the word, you think the promise. Are we together? So it says, and scriptures are to make thee wise. That word there, wise, you know, can be used as the word that means skillful. Right, to make this skillful regarding the subject matter salvation. So if you want to get skills, yeah, if you want to acquire skills rather, or if you want to acquire the skill of salvation, what do we read? We read scriptures. Hallelujah. We read scriptures. So he says all scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for what? Instruction in righteousness. So when we read through scriptures, what we should get to the an end to, or what end should we get to? We should get to the end, which is the subject matter, what? God's saving plan. Or we should have a better understanding of what? The God that saves. Are we together? So the promise of God's saving plan will be written across scriptures in various ways. Let's look at some of those ways. First of all, look at John 3. John 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. So it says John 3:1. It says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nico. You know who Nico is? Mr. Nicodemus, right? Nicodemus, he was a ruler of the Jew, right? Now, he says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. See, Rabbi, we know, forget it, just leave it. You are a teacher from God. You may say, you are God, but let me say, we teacher from God, right? He now says, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, Jesus answered and said unto him, see what Jesus says. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born again. He cannot what? See the kingdom of God. So to see the kingdom of God will be to be what? You have to be what? Born again. So look how he says for that. Nicodemus now logically thinking says, how can a man who is old be born again? Can he enter the second time into the mother's womb and be born? That means fundamentally, Nicodemus knew or he was wise enough to know that when you talk about being born, the activity leads you as a person. Altogether, when you talk about being born, that activity requires something mightier than you. So Nicodemus will say, oh, I cannot born myself, right? Will a man go into his mother's womb again? Now look at what Jesus says unto him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born of water and of the Spirit. Hold on. So what did Jesus say first? Be born again is equal to see the kingdom of God. What did Jesus say second? Be born of water and of the Spirit. If you have a good Bible, the word thereof is not there. So what do you see there? Except a man be born of water and what? The Spirit. He cannot enter into what? The kingdom of God. What did he say first? Except a man be born again, he cannot see. Except a man. So what did he say second? Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot what? Enter. So is there a difference between the seeing and the entering? Is the one and the same thing. So to see is to enter. To enter is to see. Are we together? So what is the prerequisite to enter or to see? It is to be born again, which is equal to born of water, which is born of water and the Spirit. Now, a lot of us would have thought that the water there speaks about water baptism. And I would always say the best water baptism does to you is you hide your back in front of people, right? And you know you usually will not be clean, because I don't see anybody that goes for baptism with soap and sponge. So a lot of times you actually come out dirtier than you entered. Why? Because people have used the same water, every one of you together, you've baptized yourself together as one. Right? So baptism is not an instruction from Jesus. So Jesus is not teaching water baptism, rather. So Jesus is not teaching about entering cold water or warm water. Right? You know, you say, it's an open display of what has happened in my heart. You know, if it's really open, try as much to save money to make sure CNN is there to video you when you do it. Altogether, if you enter water and your conduct is still porous, You see, water, anyways, forget about all that. So, to enter the kingdom is to see the kingdom, which is to be born of what? Water. Look at verse 6. It says, that which is born of what? The flesh is what? Is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is? Spirit. So, what did he first say? Born again. So, what is born again? Is equal to?
Born of water.
Born of water and the Spirit. And it's equal to what? Born of the Spirit. So what is more important?
Spirit.
Hold on. Which word was repeated? We have born again. We have born of water and the Spirit. And we have born of the Spirit. So we have Spirit. So where should your attention be? Water or Spirit?
Spirit.
Okay, hold on. Go to 2 Corinthians, verse 13. 2 Corinthians, verse 13. Chapter 13, rather. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, right? Are you there? Look at verse 14. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, are we together? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Now, the word there and in the Greek is the Greek word kai, right? Kaia, right? Anyways, it's a word that can be used to explain two different things, or a word that can be used to explain the same thing. Are we together? So Joshua and Yusuf is the same person, right? Or Joshua and YBJ, for instance, is the same person. But Joshua and Steph are two different people, but the same hand was used. So when I say Joshua and YBJ, what am I saying? Joshua, that is, right? Did you get that? So he says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the love of God. So how do you understand the love of God? You see it as the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what? The communion of the Holy Ghost. So the giving of the Holy Ghost is the expression of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the expression of the love of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 11. Are we together? So Paul tells you in 1 Corinthians 6 11. He says, and salt were some of you, but ye are washed. Why do you think you are washed? Because there's a water that washes. The question is, where should your attention be when you say water? Look at it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. He says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified, and by the, you see, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the what? Spirit of our God. So how are we washed? By the Spirit of our God. How are we justified? By the Spirit of our God. How are we sanctified? By the Spirit of our God. So we are washed by the Spirit. We are washed by the blood that is the Spirit. Remember Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is where? In the blood. So when you think about blood, when you think about washing, you think about water, which is what is the work of the Spirit, right? Look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. So he says, I will take you from among the heathen, right, and gather you out of the all countries, and to bring you into your own what? Land. Are you here? Ezekiel 36, 25. Let's read 25 together. Now, see what it says. Then I will what? Sprinkle clean water. So, who does the sprinkling? God does the sprinkling. Are we together? So, what does it mean to sprinkle clean water? Oh, let me say it better. What is the goal of sprinkling clean water? To get you washed. How did Paul say we are washed? By the Spirit. Are we together? Right? So he says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. God is the only one that when he sprinkle clean water, you are clean. You see, this is not an instruction to say a man should sprinkle water on you with leaves. No. The I will here is the work of God. Are we together? Right? So the I will is the work of God. It is God that will. So look at how he explains what I will be. Look at verse 26. In what? A new heart also will I what? Give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. So what does it mean to sprinkle with clean water? It is to give you a new heart. That is to give you a new spirit. So how are you washed? By the giving of a new heart. That is the giving of a new spirit. Right? That is the indwelling of the spirit in the heart of a man. Are you here? So a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. In case you are not sure, look at verse 27. And I will put my spirit, what? Within you, and cause you to walk. Are we together? So what does it mean to be washed? To be washed means to receive a new heart, that is a new spirit. What spirit? Not just a random spirit, but the spirit of God. Are we together? So who is a man that is washed? A man that is washed is a man that has received the Spirit, that is justified, sanctified by the Spirit. So what washes away the sins of man? So does God wash man? Yes. How does he wash man? God washes man without using H2O water, but by giving man his Spirit. Did you get that? So go back to John 3. That's what we really are, right? Look at John 3. So, what does it mean for a man to be born again? For a man to be born again means a man to receive a new heart, which is a new spirit, which is the spirit of God. So, you are born of the Spirit, which means you are justified, sanctified by the Spirit. So, when he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He now tells you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit. So, with what we've read, hold on. We read 1 Corinthians 6 that talks about how the water is the Spirit. Are we here? We read 2 Corinthians, Ezekiel 36, and we saw that the cleansing with clean water to make you clean is the giving of the Spirit. So what does it mean to be born of water? It is the born of the Spirit. That's why verse 7 tells you, he says, that which is born of flesh, verse 6 rather, is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So to be born again is to be born of the Spirit, that is to be born of water. Right? What does it mean to be born of water? To be born of water, to be born of water means you are what? Born again. Right? So if you look at John 7. So look at John 7, 37. So does God have water to make man clean? Yes. Does God use water to make man clean?
No.
Thank you.
Does God use water to make man clean? Does God use water to make man clean? Yes and no. Yes, if you are talking of H2O that I just drank. And no. Oh, yes, if you are talking of the Spirit. And no, if you are talking about H2O I just drank. All together. So look at John 7. John 7, 37. In that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man should what? Thirst, let him come unto me and what? Drink. So does Jesus have water to give to man that is thirsty? Yes. What is the water? Look at verse 38. He that believeth, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall what? Flow rivers of living water. So out of whose belly? Not your belly. Are we together? Not my belly. My belly, out of my belly doesn't flow rivers of living water. Are we together? It is out of his belly. What will that belly speak about? It will speak about the resurrection. Now, what is living water? What will we say? What is water going to be? So what is Jesus giving from his belly? His Spirit. You get that? Is Jesus giving living water from his belly? Yes. What is living water? His Spirit. Because it is that water that quenches thirst and also washes man. What is his Spirit? A new heart, a new spirit will I put within you. In case you are not sure, look at verse 38 or verse 39. But he spake ye of the... Are you there? Does that answer your question? But he spake ye of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should what? Receive. So to receive will mean to quench your thirst. Altogether. So how does a man quench his thirst? A man quenches his thirst in two ways. Right? A man quenches his thirst by drinking H2O water. Right? And his thirst might be quenched. But there is such a thing called living water that quenches thirst eternally. Right? And that living water, he says, he spake ye of the Spirit, which they that should believe, which they that believe on him should what? Receive. Look how he says carefully. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. So the giving of the Holy Ghost is the glorification of Jesus. Right? How, so when we talk about the resurrection and the ascension, we see that as the glorification of Jesus, which is the indwelling of the Spirit in the heart of a man. Are we together? So who is that man that is born again? The man that is born again is a man that was born of water and the Spirit. What does it mean to be born of water and the Spirit? It means to be born of God himself through the resurrection. Are we together? So say I'm washed. Say I'm sanctified by the water which is the Spirit. So does God use water? Yes. How does he use water? Water is to point your attention to what? The Spirit. Are we together? So to be born again is to receive the gospel by believing. What do you receive when you receive the gospel? You receive the living water, that is the Spirit that God puts in the heart of a man. So go back to where we started from. So what is the promise from the beginning? Water. Which is what? Spirit. Which is what? Life. Which is what? The Word. Which is what? Light. Which is what? Promise of eternal life. Which is what? The blood. Which is what? Bread. Okay. Yeah. Bread is the promise from the beginning. So let there be light is equal to let there be bread. Let there be life. Let there be blood. Let there be spirit. Let there be... You see? Same thing. All together. So Genesis, your attention from Genesis should be on the new creation, not the creation of the things you see. So while you see the creation of so many things in Genesis, it's a way of writing about the new creation. All together. So what does it mean to be born again? To be born again means you've passed from darkness into what? His marvelous light. Look at 2 Corinthians quickly. Look at verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be where? In Christ, he is a... Why do you think you are a new creation? Because you are in Christ, again, another thing. Because you've been washed, beautiful. Because you have the Spirit, that is, you have a new heart. That is, you have what? Life. Is that the same thing? So whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born again. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of water. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is what? Born again. Born of the Spirit. So John says, except a man be born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom of God. He now tells you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot what? Enter the kingdom of God. So who is a man that enters the kingdom of God or sees the kingdom of God is a man that is born again, born of the Spirit, that is born of God. Look how it says, and everyone that loveth him that begotteth, that him that begotteth loveth him also that is begotten of thee. See verse 11. This is the record that God had given to us what? So, 1 John 5 says God has given us eternal life. What does Titus say? God promised eternal life. So, as the promise of eternal life to be supplied to man being done, yes, how has that been done? By the resurrection of Jesus. So the supply of living water to man is the supply of eternal life, which is the supply of what? His eternal Spirit. Are we together? So he says, and this is the record that God had given to us, eternal life. What does he say next? And this life is in his Son. Okay, hold on. John 1 tells you, in him was life, and the life was light. So in whom was life? According to 1 John 5, in his Son. So in his Son was life, right? John tells you, and the life was the light of men. 1 John 5 tells you, in him was life, right? And you can continue and say that life is the light of men. So this is the record that God has given unto us eternal life. And this life is what? In his Son. Let's read verse 12 together. 1, 2, 3, go. It says, he that had the Son had life. So what does it mean to have life? Have to have the Son. What does it mean to have the Son? Have life. What does it mean to have life? What does it mean to have the Son? Have the Spirit. What does it mean to have the Spirit? To be born again. What does it mean to be born again? To be born of the Spirit. What does it mean to be born of the Spirit? To be born of God. What does it mean to be born of God? To have the light. What does it mean to have light? To have the blood. What does it mean to have light? The blood? To have the bread. You see, you can use so many things to talk about the same life. So if you ask yourself, so this should begin to answer questions of people that usually say, why did God use so many books to write about something? Right? So we will see in different narratives, right, certain things that are written. Look at Isaiah 42. Isaiah chapter 42. So if you look at Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6, it says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of a people, for a what? A light of the Gentiles. So what will Gentiles speak about? Unbelievers. Okay, how do you want? So if they say, I'm giving you light to the Gentiles, who are the Gentiles? Hold on. If you are to take light to the Gentiles, who will you say the Gentiles are regarding light? Those in darkness. Why do they need light? Because they are in darkness. Look at verse 7. It says, to open what? Blind eyes, and to bring out the what? Prisoners from the prison. I hope you know that this is not a vision statement for prison ministry. Are we together? I hope you know that this is not a vision. Think about it. Why would you read Isaiah 42 verse 7 and focus on prisoners and not focus on the blind? He said blind first. You see, selective amnesia. Right? You know, I'm saying to the ministry of prisoners, you know, my ministry, you see, you had better understand that whilst you give yourself a ministry to prisoners, everybody has a ministry to prisoners. What kind of prisoners are we to me, or do we have ministry to? We have ministry to prisoners both in prison and outside prison. Because we have prisoners in the prison according to the Bible, and prisoners are not in the prison of life. Happy are you if your ministry is to a prisoner in the prison and also a prisoner that is outside the prison. So you can have a ministry to a prisoner in the prison and release a prisoner in the prison and he remains in the prison. Right? You can go to a prison and release a prisoner from the prison before the government does and he's still in the prison. How do you do that? By being the light to darkness. By opening the eyes of the blind. How is that done? By teaching. So, a man that is released from prison. So when you look at mankind and you say, we have unbelievers, how else can we say they are unbelievers? They are people in prison. So when you go out to the streets to preach the gospel with the message of the light, what are you doing? You are releasing prisoners. When a man is released as a prisoner, what do you now say of him? He is born again. Which is born of water, which is born of the Spirit, which is born of God. Altogether. So happy are you to understand that every believer is giving a ministry to the prisoners. You can want to streamline your own ministry towards to release prisoners. But happy are you as a believer when you release a prisoner from prison before he is released from prison. Which is better? As a believer, which is better? Releasing from the prison of spiritual darkness or releasing from the spirit of the prison of the government. Can you have two of them? Yeah. You can, right? But which should be your priority as a believer? You know why? Because if you first release him from the prison of life and he is not released from the prison of darkness and he should die, we've lost him. And what? He remains in prison. He never came out. Oh, really? Let's say that way. He goes back to prison. But in the real sense, he remains in prison. So there are two foods we take to a prison, if at all we go to a prison. Bread and bread. Right? You take Tesco bread and go with the bread of life. Every prisoner, right, should get the two kinds of bread. Are we together? So what should be your priority as a believer? The supply of spiritual bread. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. So when you give a prisoner bread, so you see you can give a prisoner bread without taking bread to the prison. You can give a prisoner water to quench his thirst without giving him water. How do you do that? You do that by preaching the gospel of the light. Right? So you go to the prison, you say, this is the bread of life. This is water. So you can stand far off and minister and is let loose from prison. But when we are going on the streets, what is fundamental? The bread of life and the water of the spirit. So when we go on the street, you know, don't go around doing that. But you can go around and be asking people, are you a prisoner? And he said, can't you see where I am? Don't you finish taking him through scriptures, he will not understand that he was in the prison but yet free. So a man can be in the prison and be free. And a man can be free and be in the prison. Let me explain it. A man can be in the prison and he has eaten the bread of life and is free. And a man can be free on the streets and is in the prison. Look at that again. It says, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. You know, prison break. Right? So our work on this earth is to break men out of prison. We might be Michael or not. But the fact remains, our job on this earth is to break men out of the prison house. So, you know what the strategy is? How do we do it? Right? That is why we come to church, to learn about the strategies, to learn about the techniques, and to acquire skill. Look at Isaiah 52 verse 7. It says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the what? The feet of them that bring what? Good tidings, that publisheth peace. Now, what is the message of good tidings? Is that the message that releases man from prison? Is that the message? So is that part of the key, or is that the key that releases a man from the prison of life? Is that what the prisoner being released from prison house is speaking about in Isaiah 42? So look at that again. He says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet, right, of them that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth what? Salvation, right, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Look at verse 8. It says, the watchman, right, the watchman shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again what? Zion. Right, so there is such a thing called preaching the good tidings of good. Right, and what does the Bible say about your feet that does that? They are beautiful. Hallelujah. Look at Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 verse 10. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath what? Clothed me with what? Are we here? So you saw it. He hath clothed me with what? The garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the what? The robe of what? Righteousness. Okay, hold on. What do you say of a man that is released from the prison house? He's free. Does God clothe that man? Yes. With a garment. The garment of what? Salvation. With a robe of what? So when you talk about a man that was naked in the garden, what did the man not have? Garment of salvation, the robe of righteousness. So what does a man that was in the garden, what was he trying to do with leaves? He was trying to put on his body the garment that only God should put. Are you here? So he was using fig leaves to try to cover his nakedness. Okay, so who is a man that is in the prison? Can you say the man in the prison is the man that is naked? So what does it mean to be in the prison? It means to be in darkness. What does it mean to be in darkness? It means to be naked, to be without the life of God. So what is the release from the prison house? It is the clothing with the garment of what? Salvation and the what? The robe. So does God give man garment and robe? Yes. Garment of what? Salvation. Robe of what? Righteousness. So is God a tailor? So God is a tailor that sews for a man a garment of salvation that is fit. You see, when God sews a cloth for you, You don't need to slim fit. Why? Because he's a perfect God, a perfect tailor that sews to fit your body. You know what they call fit for purpose? So, what do we do? So, you know, so what is the message of the gospel? We are taking clothes, supplying to men, and saying, come and wear God's clothes. Right? So, what is coming out of prison? Coming out of prison is being born again, being born of the Spirit, being born of water, and what? Wearing the garment. So, look at it again. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with what? The garment of salvation. He has covered me with the rod, the robe of... So what was the man that was naked trying to do? He was trying to cover himself with the robe of works. How do you know works? Works in the real sense, trying to pluck from the fig trees to cover their nakedness. What were they to do? They were to believe and receive the garment that the chief tailor sews and supplies to man. You see, God sews a garment for you without taking your measurement, and it's perfect. You see, God is not any of those tailors that disappoints towards Christmas period. You know those tailors, right? You know those tailors that will tell you that, don't worry, we do express. You know, just drop it back. Next, what's today? Today is Sunday. Before the next Eket day. before next Thursday, what do you do? Just come, you'll be ready. And what happens? You come there that day, and you're already picturing yourself in your garment. And you get there, you'll be asking yourself, is this my material? Not my material. Is this what I gave you? Not I gave you. So we stand there, but we'll not mix it together. No, God is a proactive God that makes your garment ready ahead of time. So before you even come to the Christian faith, he has a garment ready for you. So if God is not reactive, he's proactive. He doesn't wait till you come and do U-turn and receive Jesus in my life. But again, and as I have been, you know, in the market, where I enter the sewing room, where I met the room together. Now they say, take it and go to us. No. It is as you are coming, there's a robe waiting for you. And once you see, once you believe what happens, you receive it. So God is not a reactive tailor, he's a proactive tailor. Make your clothes ready for you, fit, without using tape rule to measure your body. Altogether. So, what does the garment of salvation mean? Releasing man from the prisoner house. What does it mean to be born again? To be born again simply means to be born of the water that is the Spirit. Are you here? Have you gone? You hear, right? So, when we talk about salvation, we are talking about that which has been God's plan from the very, 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 very beginning of time. So, God is not a reactive God, but God is a proactive God that has made plans ready for salvation or to save mankind from the very beginning. Are you here? Have you gone on? Look at 1 Peter 1. Look at 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, 23. Look at 22. Look at 21. Who by, look at 20. I think verse 20. It says, who verily, look at verse 19. Okay, verse 19. But with them, okay, you can start with, look at verse 18. Right? For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with what? Corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the what? Precious blood. So what are we redeemed with? The precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without what? Blemish and without spot. Now look at verse 20. Who verily was what? Foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in this last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be where? In God. Look at verse 22. 1, 2, 3, go. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying. What does it mean to obey the truth? Believe the gospel through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that your love, ye love one another with a what? Pure heart fervently. Let's read everything together. 1, 2, 3, go. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by so what is the incorruptible seed that gets us born again? The word of God. Did you see that? 1 Peter 1, 23. Being born again, 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of. So, what's another way of saying being born again there? Being born of the Spirit. Being washed. Can we say being born of God? Can we say being born of water? So, it says being born again, right? Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, right? Which liveth and abideth forever, really. Yeah. Look at 25. But the word, look at, for all flesh is grass, as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is what? Preached unto you. So how does a man get born again? Not by incorruptible things, but by that incorruptible seed, which is by the word of God. So a man that is born again, is he a man that is born of God? Is he a man that is born of the Spirit? Is he a man that is born of the Word?
Yes.
Did you get that? So to be born again is to be born of the Spirit, that is to be born of water, that is to be born of the Word. To be born of the Word is to drink living water, receive a new heart, receive a new spirit, release from the prisoner house, clothed with the garment of salvation and the robe of righteousness. Did you see how we are drawing a line across the Bible? Right? So the Bible is a book that ought to explain God's salvation plan. See, you must not forget that the Bible will explain this salvation plan in various ways. Happy are you when you actually read the Bible with an understanding that the Bible is with a central focus and theme on eternal life. Are we here? Look at how Peter says it in next chapter, chapter 2. Oh, gracious Father, so much to say. Look at 2 Peter 2. Look at 2 Peter 2, verse 9. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 7. Look at 7. Unto you, therefore, look at verse 6. Wherefore also, look at verse 5. Are you there? Look at verse 5. It says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer our spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. So what is Peter saying? There's a portion of scripture where he says there's going to be a laying of a chief cornerstone in Zion. Altogether, right? So there's a stone that man will reject, which will be the chief cornerstone. Remember that passage? The stone which the builder rejected has what? Become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is what? Marvelous in our sight. This is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and we are glad in that. Look at verse 6. It says, behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be what? Confounded. Let's look at verse 7 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious, but unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the what? Chief cornerstone. So can we say what was promised from time was stone? Look at verse 8. It says, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were what? Appointed. So, remember the story of Moses, right? When the Bible tells you that God said he will hide Moses in the cliff of a rock. Do you remember that conversation? Right? That God will tell Moses, I'll cover your eye, right? I'll walk in front of you, then you'll see my back. Then he talks about how we hide in the cliff of a rock. Who is that rock? He has to be the rock of ages. Are we together? Right? You see, what did Peter see? Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the Christ. And what did Jesus say? Upon this rock. Right? So, who is that rock that the church is built on? Christ Jesus. So, the promise of life, is it the promise of a rock? Is it the promise of a stone? Are we together? I mean, so what? How else can you say you are preaching the gospel? Let's take it a step backwards. How else can you say we are preaching the gospel? We are supplying light to darkness. We are releasing prisoners from prison. We are handing over the garment of salvation and robe of righteousness to man. How else can you do that? We are stoning men with a stone. living stone. Not even just stone, rock. So how do we preach the gospel? Or when we preach the gospel, what are we doing? We are stoning. The question is, how do you stone? You must know that the stone that is expected from us is the stone of preaching. Are you here, Abigail? Are you following? Remember that woman that was found in adultery? And Jesus met them and wanted to do what? Stone. What did Jesus say? Let she that has no sin be the first to what? Cast a stone. What happened? They dropped their stone. What was Jesus doing? Jesus was stoning the woman. What does the stone of Jesus do? It kills condemnation. So Jesus went there and picked his own stone. Why is there with their stone? But because he picked the right stone, they dropped their stones. Are you here? So what did Jesus do to the woman? He stoned her. Stoned her what? The word, the promise of life, the message that kills condemnation. So is it good to pick stones? Yes. The question is, what kind of stone do you pick? What does your stone deal with? Does your stone injure condemnation or injure man? Are you here? Does your stone injure condemnation or is it injure? Does it injure condemnation or injure man? So what does walking in love do? So what is walking in love? Walking in love is stoning a man with stone. But you are not stoning the person so that the person can be hurt, but you are stoning that by using love to overcome the evil that that person has done for you. So our life is a life of throwing stones. The question is, what kind of stone do you throw? So the Bible tells you that the pig stone, why don't you stone the woman? Right? And what happens? It says, let he that had not a sin or that had not sin. So imagine sin carrying stone. Imagine men that would have sin carrying stone. So Jesus needed to use stone to stone all of them. But the stone he will use will be on his words, in his words. And they say, let he who has no sin cast the first stone. And what happens? One by one, they dropped it and they went. And he says, you see that? They are no longer there. I condemn you not. What did he say? Go and... So, let me say it this way. When you go to the prison and a man is in prison, what are you going there with? Your stone. So you are going there with your stone. It's where you go for. That's why when you go for missionary work, right? When you go for evangelism, you go with all materials. Go with your bread here. Put your water here. Put your stone here. Such that as you are giving them bread, you are stoning them. And what happens when when it's too hot, you give them water to what? Quench the thirst. Now you've done just one apples, you now give them a garment. You know, all of them, I hope you know, because I've seen it differently, it doesn't mean they are different processes. It is a giving of bread is a stoning of the stone, which is giving of the water, that is giving of the garment, that is released from prison. All at once. It's not series of process. Because something can happen right now, they say the prison wants to run, you will forget the garment, you carry the garment and run away. And the guy remains naked. That is not the conversation. They say something is happening at the front gate. You say prisoners are revolting. You say that so I don't know who sent me for prison ministry. What happened? God now saved me, and I'm in a prison that is unique. Right? So that is not the conversation. It's not a series of processes. It's you are saying the same thing, doing the same thing at once, and one thing is happening. In man. So what is stoning of bread? What is so? You know, you can as well stone the bread. You can stone the bread and give them the stone to eat. That means you are not following. Because if you are saying that the stone is the spirit, it can eat the stone and they will not, nothing will happen to them. Yeah. You know why? You know why you are saying, because you are still taking up the stone those men picked. We just simply said that when you stone a man, it doesn't injure the man, it kills condemnation. So you can go there, go and pour the water on their face. Have we put on a new man? Have we put on a new man? Have we put off the old man? Why? What? By how? By believing the gospel. So because of that, what happens? Wherefore, putting away. So have we put on a new man? Yes. Have we put on the old man? Yes. By believing the message of the gospel. But there's such a thing called continuous putting off. How will continuous putting off be done? Wherefore, putting away. Therefore, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How did Paul say it in Romans? He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. So how else could Paul say that? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the spirit of your mind. Did you get that? Did you get that? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the spirit of your mind. Or be renewing in the spirit of your mind. How to get that? Look at verse 25. It says, be angry and sin not. We looked at this a few weeks ago. Yes, be not angry and sin, and let not the sun go down your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him what? Labor, working with his own hands the things which is good, that he may have to give him that needed. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that he may minister grace unto what? The hearers. He says, and give not the Holy Spirit whereby ye are sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness be put away from you. Let all malice, anger, clamor, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Look at verse 5. Be ye what? Therefore, followers of God. Right? As who? Dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a what? Sweet smelling savour. Together. So there's such a thing called following Jesus and receiving Jesus. They are different. Altogether, your following Jesus will be predicated on your understanding of receiving Jesus. Or, let me say it better, receiving Jesus is fundamental to your following Jesus. So it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love even as he has walked in love. So it means that there's an expression that is expected from you because of what you've received. What did you receive? You received his life. What again did you receive? His blood. What again did you receive? His spirit. What again did you receive? His body. What again did you receive? His breath. What again did you receive? His stone. What again did you receive? His water. What again did you receive? His garment. What again did you receive? His robe. What again did you receive? Freedom. Freedom for what? Look at Galatians. Galatians 5. Galatians 5:1. It says, stand fast therefore in the liberty. Are you there? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has what? Made us free. And be not entangled again with the what? Yoke of bond. So what liberty do we have? The liberty of the release from prison. What did Paul say? Stand therefore in that liberty. Right? Stand therefore in that liberty. Look at what he says in verse 22. He says, but the fruits of the Spirit is what? Love. What do you find in love? Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the what? Affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envy what? One another. So loving people, forgiving people is not actually meant to be a testimony of a believer. Did you get what I just said? It's supposed to be a lifestyle of the believer. Well, when I mean testimony, I just really say it should not be something you are praising God for when you do it once in a lifetime. Are we together? It's our nature. It's a part of us. We are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Right? If we do not walk in love, we need to what? Pay attention to give expression to love. Why? Because we are born of love. So how else can you say that a man is born again? He's born of love. He's born into love. He's born into the Spirit. He has received the Spirit. That is, he has received God that is love. Are we together? That's why Paul will now tell you, like I said earlier on, do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be renewed by the renewing of your mind. So a believer is one that is in fellowship with the Spirit, fellowship with the Father. Right? A believer is one who has been released from the freedom of bondage, which is actually... So. How do you know? The giving of the bread, the stoning of the prisoner, the giving of the water is all giving of the Spirit. You get that, right? The giving of the garment, everything together is equal to the giving of the Spirit. What does the giving of the Spirit make a man, or makes of a man? It makes the man free. He makes the man born again, born of the Spirit, born of water, which is born of God. All together. So the Bible tells you that we have come into union. We have received fellowship with the Father. We have come together. We are now in God's kingdom and we are now God's children. There is now a lifestyle expected from us as his children. So the Spirit of God in man is the seal that man needs to be saved forever. So talk about the God that saves. What happens? We see the fulfillment by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when Paul tells Titus in Titus chapter 1, go back there, let's close there. Titus chapter 1. Right, Titus chapter 1. So it says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but as in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of our Savior. So, what did God promise at the beginning? Water. What did God promise at the beginning? Spirit. What again did God promise at the beginning? Life. What again did God promise at the beginning? His word. What again did he promise at the beginning? Blood. What again did he promise at the beginning? Freedom from prison. What again did he promise at the beginning? Garment of salvation. What again did he promise at the beginning? Robe of righteousness. What again did he promise at the beginning? Stone. So, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Verse 3, God said, let there be what? Stone. Hallelujah. So, God is a God of stone. The question is, what kind of stone is he a God of? You see, so it means that when we talk about love work, for instance, we should actually outdo ourselves in stoning ourselves. Did you get that? You do something bad to me, what should I do? I pick up a stone and stone you. What is my stoning you? Forgiving you. Why? Because God first stoned me. I was on my own. They stoned me. I was on my own, don't touch me. I didn't know. I said, where is it coming from? But by faith, I received the stone. That is the Spirit. And I go around looking for who to stone. I want you to go into the new year with a stone in your hand. The stone that is the bread of life. That is the water of God. As the Spirit. We will do that by preaching the message of the gospel. The year has come to an end. 2022 has come again to an end. 2023 is coming again. What are your plans for the new year? What do you plan to achieve? Where do you see yourself in the next 12 months in your spiritual growth? How many people do you want to have effectively stoned into God's kingdom? Are we together? Right? You know, when you pick a stone, I want to stone somebody. The first thing the person wants to do is to dodge. They want to dodge. And the slightest opportunity, they want to what? Run. The more you are consistent with the stone, you will stone them into the kingdom of God. You know, more often than not, people submit if somebody wants to release on you. And then we know those that are very dodgy and they know how to dodge and know how to hide behind the stone, behind bigger stones. But you know, make up your mind next day that you want to go around with a stone in your hand anywhere you find yourself. On the bus, on the tram, on the train, you want to stone someone. Right? In your house, with your friends, with the people you live with your relatives, with your colleagues, you want to walk in love more as a believer. You want to express the gifts of the Spirit more as a believer next year. What are your goals? Write them down. Run with them. Let them guide you through the year. Right? Never leave the house forgetting your stone at home, forgetting your bread at home. No. Live a life of that you are always ready. Water in your bag, bread in your bag, stone in your bag. Looking for who to supply those that are in need of those things that you have. For you know what you have is not something small. What you have is what God has placed in your hands. What you have is what God wants to use, right, to bring many men, many women into the marvelous light of his kingdom. And to chase people out of darkness, the hold, the bondage of the devil, and to bring them into his everlasting field, his everlasting farmland. Are we together? You know, with everything we said as well, we didn't even add the fact that we've spoken about that God is the God that promised the seed. So God is the farmer, God is the tailor, God is the cook, is the bakery. What a God that can pick up all characteristics just to communicate with man. The stone, yeah, the bakery, yes, the chef in the kitchen. Yet the river, all our God, that is the God that saves. Hallelujah. God doesn't leave man in darkness, or God doesn't want to leave man in darkness. God always wants to rescue man from the bondage of sin and death. You see, God always wants to rescue man from Egypt and bring them into Canaan, the land that is filled with what? Milk and honey. The land that is filled with what? Forgiveness of sins. The land that has a good, right? The good of land. He wants to supply that through you and I, living in our comfort zone, you know, to reach out to people and to preach to men and bring them out of darkness. Next year, we're going to be paying attention to discipleship as a church. I want to take out the next 2 weeks before the next year to decide what you want to do for God. How many souls do you want to get stoned next year? How many souls do you want to get saved next year? How many souls do you want to disciple? How many souls do you want to bring into God's kingdom? How many souls do you want to follow up with and bring to church to learn God's word with you? How many souls do you want to disciple next year? How many souls do you want to get saved next year? Those are conversations we start having at this point. Once you're having conversations about what you want to achieve in your career, in your health goal, and all those conversations, what do you want to achieve in God's vineyard? For you see, what God has placed in your hands, right, is mighty and mighty and mighty. Do not overlook, do not underestimate. Do not be reluctant to that ministry God has placed in your hands. You know, Paul will tell Timothy, he says, let no man despise your youth. You are not too young to serve God and serve God well. You see, across scripture, you see Jesus in Luke chapter 2. The Bible tells you at the age of 12, he was sitting with doctors answering questions and asking questions. Samuel, at a very young age, was learning discipleship under Eli in 1 Samuel. Right? Those are teenagers. Those are young guys. You know, I've told you over time, the people, most of the people that were followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, were teenagers. Just a few of them were above teenage age. Yet, see what they've done to the world. You see, the best time to have planted a seed would have been 20 years ago. The second best time to plant a seed is now. You can look back at your Christian faith and think you've not gone so far. That's beautiful. That's okay. Right, but what seed do you want to start planting right now, so that when you look back 10 years from now, you will see how much you've achieved for the kingdom, how far you've gone for the kingdom? You see, no extent is too far to go for God. Did you get that? No extent is too far to go for God. Paul will tell Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. He says, but be thou an example in words, in conversations, in the spirit, in faith, in purity. Be thou an example. You are not too young to serve God and serve Him wholeheartedly. So next year, make up your mind. I'm going to be in church every day. I'm going to be attend all the services we're going to have throughout next year. I'm going to make sure I'm around throughout. I'm going to make sure I'm not coming to church alone. I'm going to make sure that I'm coming with people, souls that are being discipled. Next year is going to be a year of discipleship. And we will train ourselves yet more in that field and make sure we'll bring more people into God's vineyard. Hallelujah.